Hey, thank you very much, Danny. Thank you. It's great to be with you all today. I'm very excited about everything to come in the next week. It's going to be a very, very memorable time in AEW. We're coming off some of our best shows, and we've had a really great week. We had great news with the tremendous viewership for AEW Collision on TNT this past weekend, our biggest viewership in a year and a half. It was tremendous, and we're really excited about that and very excited about this weekend to have AEW World's End. It's a tremendous lineup. It's a great pay-per-view show. So many things to be looking forward to in AEW. And then right after this huge World's End pay-per-view this Saturday, we have the mother of all simulcasts, AEW continuing for many years to come on TBS and TNT, and our first ever simulcast on TBS, Fight for the Fallen, and live streaming on Max. It's a really huge opportunity for us, and this is just a massive week for us, and I'm really excited to be able to talk to all of you about it. So with that, we could catch up on AEW World's End or Fight for the Fallen or both. Thanks for being here today, and Danny, we could get started with the questions, I guess.
Sounds great, Tony. Appreciate it. John Alba with Fightful is up first, and he will be followed by Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net. John?
John's at a Bruce Springsteen concert or a New York Knicks game, clearly. Johnny there?
Me. Tony, can you hear me?
Now I hear you. Hey, man.
Okay, sorry. The system wasn't letting me unmute. No Knicks. Well, there's a Knicks game tonight I'll be covering, but great to chat with you, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch that Springsteen show too and count on that. But I want to talk about someone who was a big part of World's End last year. I believe he was in the Sting match, Ricky Starks. And you talk about how Dynamite is going to be part of this big brand new era, the Big Bang coming up here with the Max launch. Do you foresee Ricky Starks being part of any of those festivities in Dynamite and AEW going forward in 2025?
I think we'll have to stay tuned to see who's going to be a part of the Fight for the Fallen and the simulcast. And it remains to be seen. We've got a great roster here, and we've got one of our best pay-per-view lineups for World's End this year. I think it's a tremendous card. And then as for who's going to be at the mother of all simulcasts, that remains to be seen. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, John. Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net is up next, and that'll be followed by a write-in from Kimmy Sokol with the Pop Break. Jason?
Yeah, hey, Jason.
Hey, a very simple question. Will Dynamite and Collision both stay two-hour shows once the new deal with WBD kicks in?
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. Thanks for asking, Jason. We are planning to continue with 2 hours of Dynamite on Wednesdays and 2 hours of Collision on Saturdays. Every once in a while, TBS and TNT are very kind to give us an overrun of several minutes. And that can be great when there's a really exciting main event or a huge moment that is happening. And a lot of times we've had great flexibility from our partners, but generally it's around 2 hours. And that is the plan going forward. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. I have a write-in here from Kimmy Sokol with the Pop Break, and that will be followed by Dominic D'Angelo with One True Sport. So, Tony, Kimmy writes, Kyle Fletcher is someone who's had a standout year in 2024 from winning the ROH TV title to putting on clinics in the ring. Can you talk about his growth over the past year and what you expect to see from him in 2025?
I have so many great things to say about Kyle Fletcher. He has been tremendous, and he is definitely going to be a huge part of this pay-per-view and a huge part of AEW going forward. We're very excited that Kyle Fletcher has reached the Continental Classic semifinals at AEW World's End. He's just been on a tremendous run in recent months, from his victory over Will Ospreay to a tremendous run in the Continental Classic tournament in recent weeks. Kyle Fletcher is doing fantastic things in AEW, and I have a very high opinion of him personally, and I think that the fans are really behind Kyle Fletcher and think that he's doing a great job. And he's been really a bright star for AEW in 2024 and somebody that is going to be a big part of AEW and pro wrestling for many years to come. Thanks for asking about Kyle.
Thank you, Tony. Dominic D'Angelo with One True Sport, you're up next, followed by Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy. Dominic?
Yeah, you're great. Thanks.
Cool. Hey, Merry Christmas, first of all, and Happy New Year upcoming. World 25 looks very, very promising for AEW. Figured I'd ask a question about how the creative structure is nowadays moving forward with the new layout, streaming services coming into play, pay-per-views all lined up. What's the creative layout backstage and behind the scenes look like for AEW right now moving forward?
I think it's going to be the same leadership that we've had in AEW for many years. And in terms of the creative aspect, I'm very excited. I think with AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision, and the shows have just been on such a strong run lately, and I'd like to continue that. I think we've been doing great things. The Continental Classic is a really strong time for AEW, and this has been, in my opinion, even better than last year's tournament in many ways. It's been just a fantastic tournament. There's a lot of things about last year I loved that can't be replicated, but this year has been just an absolutely fantastic tournament. And the recent episodes of Collision and Dynamite, I think, have been some of our very best. And it was great to see some of our strongest viewership we've ever had for Collision this past weekend. We've gotten some great opportunities from TNT and TBS, and that was a great opportunity TNT gave us, and I think we really delivered on it. And I'm, you know, very eager to continue in this capacity and keep hopefully having really strong series of shows. One thing I'm really proud of, I think this has been the best year of pay-per-views we've done, and we've been missing some of our very greatest wrestlers of all time. And in sports, with injuries and circumstances where you have your top athletes unavailable, sometimes it's challenging to put the best team, to put the best results forward. And this year, I think AEW's results on pay-per-view have just been outstanding. And I think the consistency and strength of the shows throughout the year has been unparalleled. And I'm really happy about that. And I think the TVs have been some of our very best recently. And, you know, I'm very, very happy with that. I'm very, very focused and really excited going into 2025 as the head of creative. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. And thanks, Dominic. Amy Nemedy, you are up next, followed by Alex Hunt with Inside the Ropes. Amy?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Hey.
Hi. So I really am so excited to talk about World's End, specifically with the AEW World Championship match. We have a lot of really great main event contenders all converging together in this match. Jon Moxley, though, has recently said there is not a single soul in this building that wants to be AEW World Champion. They think they do, but they're not ready to make the sacrifice. They're not ready to shoulder the weight of it. Hangman Page, Orange Cassidy, and Jay White have all shown their tenacity and fortitude with championship gold as a former world champion, international champion, and trios champion, respectively. They also all have wins over Jon Moxley, both in AEW and in New Japan Pro Wrestling. With so many styles, storylines, and histories converging in this high-stakes match, can you talk a bit about the motivations of Jon Moxley and each of these contenders for the AEW World Championship? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the four-way match at AEW World's End. As you said, this is a great lineup of wrestlers. Jon Moxley is a dominant AEW World Champion, and you have three contenders who all, as you said, have great championship pedigree, and three contenders who all have victories in their career over Jon Moxley, which puts them on a very short list. There are not a lot of people who have wins over Jon Moxley, especially over the past five, six years. You know, and really going back to 2019, that is a very, very short list. And these three are on that very exclusive group. I think that each of them has a great case to be the world champion, and each of them brings great strengths and really adds a lot of value to this main event scene. I think having Orange Cassidy, who's been with AEW since day one and really grown to be one of our top fan favorites and somebody that every place we go gets huge reactions and has great digital engagement and is a beloved face of AEW. You know, Orange Cassidy was a great challenger at Full Gear, and Orange Cassidy is also a great challenger here at AEW World's End, but it's different circumstances with this match being a four-way and the unpredictability that comes with it. And then Jay White is somebody who, as you said, has been a world champion in trios competition here in AEW, but has also been a decorated champion internationally and top star in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Jay White came to AEW with a great reputation and a great following and is one of our most popular stars and somebody I think would be a great world champion. And he's built a real rivalry with Hangman Page in recent months. They've had some classic matches at WrestleDream and Full Gear, and that rivalry has now spilled into this four-way competition. Hangman Page himself has been the AEW world champion, and I think would be a great world champion again for AEW, and is still one of the most engaging, fascinating stars in AEW, and somebody that's really, really important to our company, and somebody who, again, has been with us since day one, since we launched the company. And I think Hangman Page is an enigma right now and is bringing a lot of intrigue to this match and this championship picture. And then Jon Moxley is our most dominant star ever, AEW's greatest champion, and I think one of the most decorated and respected champions ever in wrestling. Jon Moxley is the only man ever to hold the AEW World Championship, the WWE World Championship, and the IWGP World Championship. And now as the AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley in many ways more dominant than ever. And I think there are so many interesting aspects to this match, but you brought up one of the most interesting aspects in asking your question, which is that there aren't many people that have ever beaten Jon Moxley in a match, especially in recent years. And all three of these men have done that. That puts them in exclusive company. And in my opinion, it adds to the intrigue of this match. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much, Tony. And thanks, Amy. Alex Hunt with Inside the Ropes is up next, and he will be followed by Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT. Alex.
It's going great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So I just wanted to talk about the 2024 Continental Classic Tournament. So last year it was just a straight finals match, whereas this year you've gone for the semifinals and the finals on the same night. I'm just kind of curious what the kind of thought process is kind of having like semifinals and finals, both just a straight final at World's End. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a great question. There are several things that this came down to. I'm very proud of the work that everybody's done to make this Continental Classic so tremendous. As we go into the semifinals, we've got four great contenders, two great semifinal matches with Kyle Fletcher against Will Ospreay and Rikishi versus Kazuchika Okada. And then we will have a great finals match on AEW World's End. And I felt that it would add to the pay-per-view to have the semifinals and the finals. It's grueling competition, and it adds another aspect to the tournament and what it takes and the tenacity and adversity involved for somebody to come out on top in this tournament. I think it really adds to the format to have, and it's why I made this change since the inaugural competition, to have The Blue League winner wrestle the Gold League runner-up, and the Gold League winner wrestle the Blue League runner-up to create fresh matches that have not happened in the league competition. And with 33 matches in the tournament, there's so many great moments and things that have happened throughout this tournament. We've seen so many massive developments, great, great matches, and rivalries and stories that have come out of the tournament. And I think that this format change makes World's End even more exciting and adds more intrigue to the tournament. And with the timing of World's End coming off AEW Full Gear and the scheduling of the tournament, I thought that this would be a very interesting, and I think it's been a very positive change to the tournament format in 2024. Thanks for asking, and I'm very excited for the tournament semifinals and finals tomorrow at World's End.
Thank you, Tony, and thanks, Alex. Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT is up next, and she will be followed by Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone.com. Samantha?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Merry Christmas and an early Happy New Year. I wanted to kind of stick with the C2 format and because it's been an amazing tournament, as well as last year's. Obviously, we're going into next year will be year six. We're going into 2025, having Max and having, and I would say the women's division has probably arguably the best it's ever been, especially as far as talent wise goes. Are there plans to do a women's C2, and would that be something we'd see as soon as next year? And what are your thoughts on the division as we head into the new year?
I think the division is very strong, and really we've had some of our best matches in the history of AEW women's wrestling this year. So absolutely, I think the potential is there to have a great round robin tournament. The scheduling is very intense, and I'll be honest, we've had a lot of injuries in the women's division in recent years, and this tournament takes a toll. We saw this year that Juice Robinson was injured in the first week, and I thought we were very fortunate not to have many other severe injuries with the hard-hitting nature of the tournament. I think Women's Continental Classic potentially could be a very, very exciting tournament. We've had some of our top wrestlers in the women's division returning from injuries recently. If we get everybody healthy, I do think it's something I'm very interested in. It is a very grueling and challenging tournament for many reasons. So I think this year we were very fortunate to be able to have a great alternate in Commander who came into the field, but it's obviously not ideal to replace injured wrestlers in the flow of the tournament. And I think if we can, you know, really keep I think that right now the quality of women's wrestling in AEW is the highest it's ever been. And we're continuing to build and have more great matches, more great rivalries. And I think at this time, just looking ahead to this weekend's pay-per-view, knowing that we have Mercedes Moné versus Chris Statlander 2 in this great rematch of a classic at Full Gear that I think is one of the best matches all year, men or women, in AEW. With Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander, I thought it was one of our top matches all year. And it'd be great to get the TBS Championship rematch. Very excited about Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May in the Tijuana Street Fight. Mariah and Thunder are both tremendous in these hard-hitting, no disqualification situations. They both really bring the fight, and I think that's going to be a wild brawl tomorrow at World's End. And a lot of other exciting developments in AEW. Of course, the return of Julia Hart and the big mother of all simulcasts, the fight I've been wanting to see for many, many weeks now. And I think a lot of the fans feel the same way with Julia Hart versus Jamie Hayter. And You know, and then of course the return, or if we're gonna enable her and call it her debut, that's okay too, of Toni Storm. And having Toni Storm back is tremendous. So we have a great, great group right now, and it's, I think it's the strongest it's ever been. So I'm hoping to continue building on that. And if we keep everybody healthy and keep building and moving in that direction, I definitely think a great tournament like that would be a great development, and continuing the great work that the women's wrestlers in AEW have been doing, which I think, again, I think they're having really their best year yet. So I'm very excited about that. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Toni, and thanks, Samantha. Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone.com is up next, and he'll be followed by Josh Nason of the Wrestling Observer. Bill?
I'm doing really, really well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I actually wanted to ask about something you were quoted on at I think it was Sunday's taping. You were quoted as saying that it was the last Rampage taping for the foreseeable future. I just wanted to see if you could expand on that and maybe talk about what might happen with talent and storylines that would normally play out on that show until you figure out what, you know, that future for Rampage is.
Well, I think it's a great situation for AEW. We're getting a new media rights agreement that is huge for us for many reasons. It is a massive opportunity for AEW to be able to simulcast our shows and reach new viewers through the streaming service Max. And by streaming on Max, simulcast along with every Wednesday on TBS and every Saturday on TNT to complement that with also simulcasting, it's a huge opportunity for us. And the deal was very favorable for AEW. We were able to get rights fees that are many times larger than what we had in our first 5 years. It completely changes the financial picture of AEW, and it is the big target that we have aspired to for many years. And part of the agreement is we would focus on these 4 hours and really it's so important to us that we launched AEW Collision last year, and this opportunity, this deal is why I felt like it was very important for us to launch AEW Collision, to have a 2-hour primetime home on TNT. And we're coming off one of the best results in the history of AEW Collision and our biggest viewership again in a year and a half since the really the second month ever of the show this past week. And we're really, really proud of that result. I think it's going to be important for us to focus on Dynamite and Collision, and it will be a huge development for AEW. And it is in many ways, a reimagination of the calendar, but it's also going to be great for the company. It's a huge opportunity, and it allows us to really focus on Dynamite and Collision and put more resources into those shows and grow the company. And by getting rights fees that are multiple times higher than we initially had, we put the company on a path to profitability, and that's really important. And the company is going to be one of the most successful wrestling companies of all time on the bottom line. And we've grown the business, we've developed it, and gone through the startup phase, and we had a great media rights deal for many years. And then we built and invested in the company, invested in talent, invested in TV, invested in technology, infrastructure, international growth, all with this year in mind. And now we're just days away from the thing that we all targeted. You know, when I said the TV deal was in the red zone, that it was on the goal line, all those things proved to be true. And we put together this huge media rights deal that now we can make this a very profitable business for many years to come with the massive media rights deal in front of us. And it's a path to be one of the two most successful and profitable wrestling companies of all time in an era where media has changed so much. It's really great that pro wrestling is making such a huge step into streaming this coming week. And AEW is a huge part of that story, and we'll be the first ones to ever do weekly simulcasts with TBS, TNT, and Max. And Rampage has been a great, great show for us. And for the foreseeable future, we're going to focus our resources on Dynamite and Collision, because Dynamite and Collision, the rights fees around those shows have skyrocketed, and that is the way we had built it up, and that was why this deal made so much sense for us, and why it's such a great opportunity for us to focus on Wednesdays and Saturdays and really grow the company to new heights with this deal, with the streaming opportunity, but also with the rights fees we've commanded. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks, Tony. Josh Nason with the Wrestling Observer is up next, and he'll be followed by Brian Zill.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great, man.
Awesome, great. Kind of a follow-up to Bill's question. Given that you're losing 50-ish hours of TV a year, and you have a pretty big roster as it is now, do you foresee having to do any cuts in the first part of the year to help accommodate for the loss of those hours?
Well, I can't say right now how we'll accommodate that. It's a good question to ask. And with the company getting significantly more money, many times more money to produce these 4 hours of TV, and focus on that, and then carry that over into the streaming platform, it is a change from doing 5 hours of TV. But we'll be much, much, much better off as a company with this deal. And as for how we'll reimagine the roster and how we'll utilize everybody going forward, it's a fair question to ask, and it's something we'll have to look at. But I think there will be great opportunities, and versus a year and a half ago when Collision first launched, we had been doing AEW for many years with 3 hours and with only two primetime hours, and now really two, in at least in the peak of primetime, and now this opportunity to have 4 hours and these key time slots, these key opportunities, it's just a great, great chance for AEW. It's the biggest opportunity we've ever had. And it's going to be coming off what I think is going to be an excellent, excellent pay-per-view. So I think there's going to be a lot of buzz on next week's shows with AEW Fight for the Fallen Wednesday night in Asheville, North Carolina, on TBS and Max, and Saturday in Charlotte, North Carolina, on TNT and Max. I think there's going to be a lot of great buzz coming off World's End about the upcoming shows, and that will be a great opportunity for us to really make this a successful launch and focus on these 4 hours. And then it will be a change doing 4 hours instead of 5 hours. But again, the company is growing, and it's going to be a great opportunity for AEW. But it is a change going from 5 hours to 4 hours, even though the 4 hours are now live streaming, simulcast. We're being much better compensated going forward. It's a really exciting opportunity for us. But it's a fair question you're asking about how we'll handle it. I can't speak to that now, but I appreciate you asking.
Thank you, Tony, and thanks, Josh. Brian Zillum with PW Torch is up next, followed by Stu Myrick with Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Brian?
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Thanks for taking the time. And Tony, at this time, I wanted to ask, could either you personally or AEW comment on Jamie Hahn's recent allegations against AEW and its legal team? Thank you.
No, I can't. I can't speak to that, but thanks for asking about that.
Stu Myrick with Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, you're up next, followed by Brandon Thurston with WrestleNomics. Stu?
Tony, thank you for the time. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I want to ask you, we're at the second edition of the Continental Classic. It has been met with rave reviews. With that in mind, is there anything you have seen in this year's edition that you've made a note to maybe tweak for next year's edition?
Well, that's a great question. I think the format has been excellent. I think we'll always update the field, and this year's tournament included 12 great wrestlers. Several of them were in the tournament last year, and then there's several that are new to the field, and I think that's a great format, bringing some fresh faces in each year and also having some veterans of the tournament. And I think the tournament has been excellent. We made a major change to the formatting, as you mentioned, with the semifinals and the finals now on World's End, but also with the cross-block semifinals now. And I think this format's excellent. I mean, I can't speak to everything we'll do a year from now with exact certainty, but I'm very confident in this format, and I think this is a perfect format. We'll see how everything works out at AEW World's End tomorrow, but as of right now, I feel really good about this Continental Classic format. So, you know, if you asked me now and shot me 11 months forward in the time machine, in the time cop technology, then I would say that I think this is a great format. And I would be very happy to contest the Continental Classic under the same format next year as it stands right now. And we'll see how it goes tomorrow at AEW World's End.
Thank you, Tony. Brandon Thurston with WrestleNomics is up next, followed by Rich Fan with Pro Wrestling Torch. Brandon?
Hi, Tony. Thanks for your time. I was wondering if you could talk about the trends in TV ratings and attendance we're seeing. On one hand, AEW has had great success this year with the media renewal. And on the other hand, TV ratings and attendances, based on the data that we can see, do look like they're down. So I was just wondering, you have direct access to the firsthand data, is what are your thoughts on the trends of AEW's fan metrics in particular this year?
Again, you mentioned it's a huge success for us to have our media rights renewed. We had great news this past week with AEW Collision having some of its best viewership in the history of the show, and the biggest total audience in a year and a half, and one of the best numbers the show's had since its debut. So I think that is very positive, and it's a great opportunity for AEW to make new fans, bring in new viewers with the launch of the simulcast on Max. With the changes over the years to the cable audience and the size of the cable universe, we've seen major growth in streaming, and AEW, through our original media rights deal, never had a streaming television component to our deal, and now we do. It's really exciting. And in addition to being with TBS every Wednesday and TNT every Saturday, these channels are staples of the cable industry, and really in particular staples of pro wrestling, TBS and TNT, I feel. And Max is one of the top streaming services, has never carried pro wrestling. So as you mentioned, the media rights renewal has been a great opportunity for us. We've had a lot of success this year. And I think the most important success to point to is definitely the media rights renewal and what that signals going forward for AEW. And I think pro wrestling right now a thing to keep an eye on is the major push into streaming, and AEW is a massive part of that with the launch on Max that's coming next week. So I am very excited about the ratings that I got this past week with AEW Collision, having very strong audience, and I'm hoping that we get good numbers for the Christmas night Dynamite as well. You know, it was 3 years ago where we had a Christmas night Rampage with a similar lead-in from 24 Hours of a Christmas Story, and that show did very well. And I thought that the Christmas night Dynamite was an excellent, excellent show, as was the Christmas Collision that did such a strong audience. So coming off that strong Christmas Collision and those big numbers, and with the lead-in from 24 Hours of a Christmas Story and the really strong quality of the shows, I really believe that the TV in recent months has been the best all year. And that bodes very well for us, I think, going into AEW World's End tomorrow and into the media rights increase and the big change with the simulcasting coming next week. So I was really excited about the ratings this week, actually. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony, and thanks, Brandon. Rich Fan with the Pro Wrestling Torch is up next, and he'll be followed by John Pollock with Post Wrestling. Rich?
Good afternoon, Tony. My question's more of a follow-up to Brandon's. So with these innovations and all of the streaming being added to what you can do with the TNT and Warner Family and networks, could you talk a little bit about maybe potential innovations you might see on Max or AEW besides the content, as well as how you're going to, if at all, make available not necessarily ratings, but viewing data? We just saw with the NFL on Christmas, Netflix was able to share a little bit of their ratings as far as viewership data with Nielsen. Would the same plan be for AEW once you move to that new deal? Thank you.
Well, that aspect of it is not necessarily in our control, but we have great media partners at Warner Brothers Discovery. As they share the information with us and the media, we'll learn more about it, but it'll be a big change because those ratings are tabulated differently and they're accumulated differently and disseminated differently. So we won't necessarily have every number on every show, but I think that when we have some great success and some things to point to, hopefully they'll be able to pull together data and release some. But I don't think we'll be getting the same exact information for the streaming shows, Dynamite and Collision, that we will for the cable aspect. But whenever they can share that information with us, I'll be excited to learn it. It'll be our first time really getting it. But as I understand now, we maybe won't get the same amount of robust information the day after the shows that we were getting now. And I guess it's not actually the day after on Collision since it's on Saturday. Typically, we don't get that for a few days coming off the weekend. But, you know, and Dynamite, typically we tend to get that Thursday after a Wednesday show. With the Nielsen cable ratings, I don't know if they're going to trickle in quite as fast. I don't know if the information will be quite as robust, but I'm hoping that Max will be able to share good data with all of you and with us to give us good insights on the streaming shows. And was there another component to your question? You were asking about innovations, right? Innovations in the TV show, in the streaming show. I definitely think there are some opportunities to utilize the platform. I do want to keep the user experience as consistent across TBS and Max as possible, and that's something we're working on. We'll be continuing to try and streamline as the show is going to be on TBS, TNT, cable, and on Max streaming, simulcasting for many years to come. So I think we'll really find ourselves a strong formula for it. Thanks for asking.
Great. Thank you, Tony, and thanks, Rich. We've got just a couple more hands up. So if you haven't had a chance to ask a question yet, be sure to either raise your hand or write it in. But right now we've got John Pollock with Post Wrestling up next, and he'll be followed by Aruna Vaghoshal with Sports Kita. John?
you about the recent announcement up here in Canada that Collision is going to be moving to the soon-to-be rebranded USA Network in the country. Is this a, does this represent a new deal with Bell Media, or is this a concurrent one with Dynamite? If you can give us any kind of time frame, if this is represents an extension of your partnership with Bell Media, and just any assessments of the Canadian marketplace after these recent sets of talks.
Yeah, we had some great negotiations in Canada. I'm glad you asked about that. We're excited about Collision coming to USA Network in Canada, and also about an extension with Dynamite on TSN. We had some great talks in Canada. We have had multiple offers, and we had multiple offers for increased media rights fees because AEW has done very, very well in Canada, often the top wrestling show in the demo. And to have AEW get so much interest in Canada, it was very exciting for us. And we spoke to top media partners, including our partners at TSN. And we made a great decision, I think, to stay with TSN. And now we have an expanded deal with Collision coming to Canada's USA Network, and also Dynamite continuing on TSN. It's a great place for us. And frankly, we got a great deal and a major rights fee increase, which is good for us. And something I think we had earned over the years with strong performance on TSN. And we had other great offers, but this was the best one. And we had another offer that was tremendous from another major company there. And this deal had a lot of things that we liked better about it, including being able to stay with our partner we've been with since day one. Thanks for asking.
Thank you. Aruna Vagoshal with Sports Kita is up next. And unless I see anybody else pop up, I think Tony will hand it off to you afterwards. But Arunava, you can go ahead.
Tony?
We can hear you, Arunava. Hey. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So Ricochet has been a hot topic in AEW recently. So I just want to get your thoughts on the sudden change in his attitude and the reaction he has been receiving both on and off TV. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you asked about that. That's something I have felt really strong about. That's something that we've seen in particularly throughout the Continental Classic tournament in recent weeks. Ricochet's attitude has adjusted. And he has had great success. Ricochet is going to World's End largely on the part of his excellent, excellent wrestling. He has taken maybe a shortcut along the way here and there, but I do think his wrestling has put him in this great position, and the fans have started to see Ricochet in a new way. And I think that's by design in many ways. And knowing how the tournament would unfold, I think it's played out tremendously to see Ricochet tap into a darker side of his personality, especially as we went through these matches where it was apparent that Ricochet would probably not be the fan favorite, you know, in terms of getting cheered against Brody King, Will Ospreay, and Darby Allin. They're all very different wrestlers, but they're all very popular. And in my opinion, going into it, I felt like they were all going to get cheered against Ricochet. Brody and Darby and Will Ospreay all got cheered against Ricochet in a major way. And Ricochet, frankly, leaned into it. And it went exactly as expected, which was very, very well. And he's doing fantastic things since he came here. He's not been the nicest guy, but he's been very effective. And, you know, knowing that Ricochet again was going to have these big matches in the final week of the Continental Classic, it has played out perfectly. And when I was putting the schedule and the format for the Continental Classic together. And I'd put Ricochet in back-to-back matches in Hammerstein Ballroom on Collision and Dynamite against Will Ospreay and Darby Allin. I was 100% sure he was going to get booed out of the building against Will Ospreay and Darby Allin. And we have really done some very good stuff with it, I think. And Ricochet's done very, very well. And Ricochet has a lot of momentum, to say the least. And Ricochet is the Gold League winner for this year. And it remains to be seen who will win the entire Continental Classic. But Ricochet has definitely got to be considered one of the favorites and somebody who's doing great things in the ring in AEW. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Arunava, and thanks, Tony. Looks like that's all the hands for today. So, Tony, I'm going to hand it off to you just for some final thoughts as we move towards World's End tomorrow and the Mother of All simulcasts on Wednesday.
Oh, well, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. I'm blown away by the opportunities in front of us in the next week to have this great pay-per-view with this great lineup. So many exciting things happening at AEW World's End, and to be less than a week away from our first ever simulcast, this is a huge opportunity. It was a big moment for AEW when we announced that we're going to start a wrestling company and the kind of support we saw, and then when we announced that we're going to have a show every week on TNT, we got huge support for that. When we announced we're going to move that show to TBS, but continue producing wrestling on TNT and move Dynamite to TBS, that was a huge step for us, and that was very well received. And since that, I think this is by far the biggest move we've made, the biggest adjustment we've made. And it doesn't change things for so many of our fans. You know, for the fans that watch the show on TBS on Wednesdays, for TNT on Saturdays, that's going to stay consistent. And that experience is going to be there for years to come. It just adds a new layer. It adds a new opportunity to make fans. And I'm so excited about it. And this week ahead is just so massive for AEW. I really appreciate all of you coming here and doing this media call and giving me the opportunity to talk with you about AEW World's End and the Continental Classic and all the happenings in AEW, and also about Fight for the Fallen and the simulcast. It's so huge for us, and I will hopefully see some of you after World's End in the media scrum, and I'll try to stay after and answer as many questions as I can, everyone's questions, hopefully. I really appreciate everybody who asked questions today. I tried to get all of them in, and thanks for coming here and covering us. So many of you have been covering AEW since we first announced the formation of the company, and your coverage and you covering pro wrestling and bringing media attention to it and bringing fans attention to it is something that really powers the wrestling business. And I really appreciate all of you. I hope you all had great holidays, and hope everybody who celebrates Christmas had a great Christmas, and hope everybody's been having great holidays, and wanted to wish you all a happy new year. Thanks for being here, and look forward to seeing you all tomorrow at AEW World's End.
Awesome. Thank you, Tony. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll be distributing an audio recording to all attendees shortly. We thank you again for being a part of today's call, and we're looking forward to you joining us for AEW World's End on Saturday night. Have a great day.